Iconium, in that southern region there. Paul was writing back to them. What had happened was some Jewish legalizers, they're not teaching salvation by grace through faith. They're teaching to believe in Jesus, but you have to keep the law to be saved. And so Paul is clarifying to the Galatians that the law was good, but it's now complete. It's done. And so now the law isn't going to do anything for you. You know, the law is away, and now it's new things in Christ. Galatians chapter 5. In verse number 1 there, for freedom Christ freed us. Stand fast, therefore, and do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. So what a great statement. For freedom Christ freed us. You are free. You are set free. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free, make you free. You are free. It's interesting. The Galatians went from idol worship, right? Serving false gods, worshiping idols, sacrificing to idols. They were freed from that. Paul and Barnabas came through there, preached salvation by grace through faith. The Galatians accepted that. Again, the cities of Iconium, Derbe, and Lystra, they said, yes, we want that. That's fantastic. We accept Christ. Paul leaves. Again, he wasn't there very long, right? I mean, weeks, months at the most in some places. The longest he stayed was maybe a year and a half at Corinth, I believe. I could be wrong. But not in these first missionary journeys here, it's his first trip in a very short time. So Paul hears about them, the Judaizers coming in and saying, you have to be circumcised. You have to keep the law. And Paul's writing back saying, absolutely not. Why are you going? For freedom Christ freed us. Why would you go from worshiping idols? And now I'm going to go to Jesus, and now I'm going to the law. I'm going from one failure to the next failure. Right? Cool. Not in Ephesians just yet, Bible. I'll get there. So don't be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. That's what the law did, right? It was bondage. Again, the law was great. It served its purpose. It brought people, the law was our schoolmaster to the Jews. The law was never even meant to go to the Gentiles. It was to the Jews. The law was their schoolmaster to bring them to Christ. Now that Christ has died on the cross and rose again, no more law. It's fulfilled. That should be celebrated, right? Celebrated. Absolutely. Fantastic. Verse 2, indeed I, Paul, say to you that if you became circumcised, Christ will profit you nothing. So he's saying, okay, if you're going to go away from salvation in Jesus Christ to now I need to be circumcised to be saved, or my spiritual acceptance in this work, Jesus Christ now profits you nothing, right? Now he's saying you guys are born again, but the spiritual blessings coming up here in a minute, the spiritual blessings through grace, they have no effect on you. You're not looking to grace, those spiritual blessings. It's not coming through grace. It's coming, you're wanting it through the law. It doesn't work that way. Verse 3, I testify again to every man who is circumcised that he is obligated to keep the whole law. So you can't pick and choose what laws are good, what laws are bad. Ten Commandments are great, but the other 625 are not good. No, you can't do that. Paul says, if you're going to do one law, you got to do the whole thing. James says the same thing, and actually we'll go ahead and go there. I believe it's in James chapter 1. James chapter 1, I believe. Let's see if I even wrote this verse down. No, James chapter 2. I did write it down. Good. James 2:10. James 2:10. So James says it again in James 2:10, which we believe is probably the first epistle ever written to the 12 tribes of Israel here. James 2:10 says, for whoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of breaking the whole law. So you can't just say, well, I'll do this one thing and be good to go. No, you have to do all of them. And even if, back to Galatians, even if you want to do the whole law, now grace has no benefit to you. You're saved, you're sealed, thank God, praise the Lord. But now my spiritual growth will not come at all because I'm looking for a law to now grow. That's what verse 4 means. For you, or you have been cut off from Christ, whoever of you are justified by the law, you have fallen from grace. That fallen from grace there has the idea of a ship with a rudder going off course. So now I'm looking I was following well, I was doing good, now I'm having the law, and now I'm kind of going off course here, I'm going off track. Like a person when they start walking a long distance, if they're right handed or left handed, they start going off a little bit, right? Check your compass as you walk. That's what that means. You're falling from grace. So now the spiritual blessings from grace now aren't going to be coming to you. You're not going to grow. Nothing's going to happen because you're looking for a law to fulfill what only spiritual things can do. Does that make sense? So it's like a water and oil. They're never going to mix. It doesn't happen. It can't happen. Verse 5, for we through the Spirit by faith eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness. For in Christ Jesus there is neither circumcision nor uncircumcision, means anything, but faith which works through love. He says this to the Corinthians, he says it in Romans. Circumcision doesn't mean anything. When you look to salvation by grace through faith in the shed blood of Jesus Christ, it's not there, right? So during this time when the Judaizers and the legalists are coming in saying, hey, you have to do this, Paul's saying, not at all. That means nothing in the spirit realm. Nothing at all. Even in the Old Testament, when there are some bad things happening, God would tell the Jews, hey, you know what? You're doing these things, but you're uncircumcised in heart. Like the offerings you're giving me mean nothing to me because your heart is far from me. Even the Old Testament. How much more now being saved by grace? It means nothing. You can add anything in here for us to apply it today. Any kind of law. You know, a lot of times we want to look at a spiritual compass. People who are born again, who are mature believers, will do these things. And they look at physical acts they do. And I'm all for that. But you can also be deceived because people like to physically live out things inside they're very far from. Right? I look for the fruit of the Spirit. That's what I'm looking for. Is there any fruit of the Spirit, which we'll get to here in a minute, is that coming out of you? That's the first thing I look at. Not what you're doing. An unsaved person can look very godly. They can look very, and they're not saved at all. They're not born again. Look at most of the religions in the world. They have some kind of work behind it, right? If you do these things, then you'll the good works will outweigh your bad works, and Christ is saying none of that means anything. That's so far from what I'm trying to talk about. Works cannot do it. That's why a perfect sacrifice had to come, right? The sacrifice came, now we accept it, now we go from that which could not attain anything, and we move on in Christ. Look at verse 7. You were running well. So they had a good start. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? What person came in and swayed you? Verse 8. This persuasion does not come from him who calls you. It's not of God. Think about that. A false teacher is coming in saying this is from God. It has a godly lineage. It has the Bible. It has spiritual truths behind it. But it's not, verse 8, it's not from God. You can look at a lot of false religions and they're going to have the same view as the Bible is viewed. The Bible is the Word of God. Amen. It means nothing to them. They're not born again. Does that make sense? But they have a moral standing on, yes, this is the Word of God, it's pure, it's perfect. Good. Not good enough. Just because I say yes to something and agree with something that's true doesn't mean that God's grace is going to flow through me and help me get through something. Does that make sense? I'm doing it through a work or through a false teaching. Nothing's there. We'll see what that does here in the fruit of the Spirit coming up. Verse 8, this persuasion does not come from him who calls you. It's not from God. Verse 9, a little yeast leavens the whole batch. A little sin, right? Rises. A little sin that comes into the body of believers can lump it up, can swell to more and more false teaching. Listen, our line is salvation by grace through faith. That's it. That's it. Anybody that comes in here and says otherwise, we will make sure that we handle that. Now, if we have some things that are maybe a gray area, quote unquote, we have some different ideas on what certain truths look like, yeah, I'm not going to break fellowship over that, right? But one thing that's clear throughout Scripture is it's the shed blood of Christ and Christ alone. That's it. You know how many millions of people died for that truth? How many millions of people have lived for that truth? It's harder to live for that truth than to die, right? Dying's easy. As soon as I'm dead, I'm gone. I'm in heaven. Thank God. But to live for it, that's where the rubber meets the road. Coming on down here to verse number 10, right? Or verse 9? Yeah, verse 10. Thank you, Bob. I have confidence in you through the Lord that you will not think otherwise. But he who is troubling you shall bear his judgment, whoever he is. Brothers, if I am still preaching circumcision, why do I still suffer persecution? Then the offense of Christ has ceased. I wish that those who are troubling you would castrate themselves. So Paul is saying, listen, if I'm going around preaching salvation by grace through faith, and it's okay that these Judaizers are doing the same thing I'm doing, why am I being persecuted? Even his first missionary journey, he's having problems, right? He's having issues right from the get-go. But you have to have a commitment to Christ in your walk with the Lord to be constantly told no. No. I don't like that. I don't want to hear that. That's not true. I'm going to fight you on that. A person who is young, like the Galatians, sometimes can fall under that weight, can't they? We see it all the time. People who are born again fall into false teaching. Why? Because someone who is more bold than them has persuaded them, has convinced them. Even if the Holy Spirit's convicting them, saying, hey, don't believe this, it's not true, they don't have discernment yet. They're unlearned, right? Paul's saying, listen, if this is true, then why am I being persecuted? It doesn't add up. Verse 13, you brothers have been called to liberty. Only do not use your liberty to give an opportunity to the flesh, which is Romans 6, but by love serve one another. Which brings me to my third point here on what I'm trying to get across here in Galatians from a kind of a different perspective. If you can read my handwriting, your contact prescription is good. Your glasses are good. If you can't, you need to maybe check it out. No. I'll work on my penmanship. My point number three here is the Galatians will see was important to them from God's perspective. They will live a liberated, fruitful life in service to each other. So again, the beginning of Galatians, we saw that they are... Paul is unloading and explaining for them to know who they are. When they know who they are, they're going to see how God views them and how important they are to God, to him. As we kept on reading, the Galatians will see their acceptance in God through Christ, not the law, through Christ. They can commit to the one who accepts them. That's why we have a commitment crisis. They don't know the person they're committed to. They don't know who saved them. When I get born again and I turn my back on grace in the Spirit, learning things through the Spirit, and I look to a law, I'm not going to grow. The law doesn't teach that I'm accepted in Christ. The law doesn't teach forgiveness, a position of sin. The law shows a temporal covering, right? That it continually, read the book of Hebrews. If the law was still in effect, then Paul wrote Hebrews. That's what you're going to know there. Then Hebrews does a fantastic job of saying that we would have to keep sacrificing, keep sacrificing, keep sacrificing. Christ would have to die and die and die and die. He died for sins once for all. Amen. Once. That's it. The Galatians will see what is important to them, again, from God's perspective, as Paul is teaching them. They will live a liberated, fruitful life in service to each other. Amazing. It all works together. The power of the Holy Spirit through your gift cannot be conjured up by the law. Right? It can't happen. It's through grace. It's the Holy Spirit revealing and teaching. The Holy Spirit's job, according to John 16, is to teach you the truth. His job is the one to reveal truth to you as you study and as you learn. If I'm looking to the law, there's nothing there. Nothing there. If I'm looking for a work or acceptance in something other than Christ, it's going to have no value. You're not going to feel fulfilled. That's why we see a commitment issue to Jesus. It's because people are looking to do something. If I just go to church every Sunday, it's not going to do anything in your head because your motives are wrong. If I just go to church every Sunday, I'll feel fulfilled. Nope. But you should be here every Sunday. Don't get me wrong. If I just do these things, something that can be measured, you will have no sustenance. There'll be no fulfillment. There'll be no overflowing. It will be empty and thin, and you'll be spinning in circles and looking for something else to do. Well, I'm doing this, and this isn't doing anything, right? Right, exactly. Absolutely. What else can I do? I'm not feeling that God's with me. Well, yet you're not abiding. You're not stopping and yielding. You're not studying the Holy Spirit to teach you. It's not what you do for God. It's what am I going to allow God to do through me? And a lot of times in the 21st century, we have a problem with patience. I want it now. I want to see it now. No, be patient. Thank God that He hasn't called you to do something yet because you would ruin it. Even in your zeal to do that which is right, you're going to blow it. It's okay to take time to mature. We want quality believers in Christ. Amen? You want quality. Take time to learn. Take time to say, hey, I don't get it. I don't know it yet. I'm going to take time to figure it out. That takes a month, 6 months, a year. I can wait. I'm still going to pursue it. I don't need God to tell me the truth and see it right now. You are worth waiting for, God. Look, I'm not saying be lazy. I'm just understanding what I'm saying. I'm not saying don't pursue it. I'm saying as you pursue, be patient. Man. I remember the first 5 weeks of pastoring. First 5 weeks in my first marriage counseling session. And the wife had been married 3 other times and had so much baggage from other marriages. I remember I went to that. I had to drive 45 minutes to get there. I get there, they're talking, and nothing's coming in. Nothing. Bible college graduate. Preacher of preachers in the circle I was with. Head was this big and full of nothing. So she did talk for 3 hours. I have no idea what's happening. I don't even know where to even go, what to say. So I drive home feeling useless. I'm bawling my eyes out because like nothing's coming. What did come was stupid things like read your Bible every day. Go to church, tithe, witness, and dress appropriately. La, 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 la. And I said, okay, what's it going to take to have spiritual substance, Lord? You're going to have to really clean out what you were taught on some things. Accept the teaching I'm going to teach you. And be patient as you learn and grow. After 11 years of doing that, how we counsel now, thank God, is nothing like that first visit. But I had to take time to study and to pray and fast to get where we're at now. There is no reason why you can't have that too. We have the same spirit. He's not going to give me more spiritual truth because I'm a pastor. I don't believe that. We are equal in Christ. I have the office of a pastor, but we have the same Holy Spirit that wants to use us and teach us that you cannot get through a law, that you can't get through some kind of measuring stick. Now it's Greek. See, the Bible wants me to read in Ephesians. It wants me to read upside down today. Well, I don't know what's going on. I know. It has a spirit of its own. You've been called to liberty. Verse 13. Only do not use your liberty to give an opportunity to the flesh. Romans 6. But by love, serve one another. There you go. You are free in Christ. Thank God. Now use that freedom in Christ to grow your walk with the Lord and serve each other. The law, you serve yourself. It's me and the law in Galatians, right? Me and what I want to attain through rules and regulations. No, not so. Verse 14, for the entire law is fulfilled in one word. Even this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you are not consumed by one another. You guys doing okay? You mind if I go 15 more minutes? Don't time me. Yeah. Verse 16. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Now bear in mind the context. To the Galatians at this time, it's law versus grace. Law versus Spirit. It does a very good job in the beginning chapters on the main focuses. The Holy Spirit comes in you through grace in Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit did not come in you through the law. Right? That's what he says in the first 30 chapters. I say then, walk in the Spirit. That is a conscious decision to line up the truths I know with what I know and live it out. Boom. Action. It means I have to take responsibility the choices that I make. Uh-oh. Walk in the Spirit. When I do that, what will the outcome be? And you shall not fulfill lust of the flesh. Verse 17, for the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. This is mainly concerning doing things out of the law, doing things in the Spirit. These are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. But if you're led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. That makes sense? So, when I go to the law, and I try and do things under the law, I'm going to have the flesh come out. I'm doing it in my self-energy, self-effort. I'm not looking to Christ. I can't look to Christ and say, Christ, allow me and help me keep the 625 commandments. He's going to say, nope. There's going to be nothing inside of me that encourages me through the Spirit to do those things. I am doing it out of my own energy, right? Watch what happens when I look to something spiritual. Check this out. I'm looking to something that was spiritual that's taken out of context. The law's done. It was fulfilled. Thank God. Watch what happens. Verse 19, now the works of the flesh are revealed, which are these: adultery, sexual immorality, impurity, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, strife, jealousy, rage, selfishness, dissensions, heresies, envy, murder, drunkenness, carousing, and the like. I warn you, as I previously warned you, that those who do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. So those who are unsaved, looking to the law, even to do the opposite of what the law says, right? The law says, don't murder, don't envy. I'm looking to the law to do those. And Paul says it in Romans 7, the things that I'm looking to the law to do, I find myself doing. The harder I try in the law to not do those things, I end up doing. Isn't that amazing? It says those people who look to the law to not in the flesh to do things that which are spiritual, they will not inherit God's kingdom. There's nothing spiritual in that. There was a time, yes, for the Jews to do that. Now it's fulfilled. Now it's complete. Your self-energy in the law, Galatians, it's going to tank you. Nothing there. Those that are unsaved that do that, they want to hear the kingdom of God. These Judaizers coming in, teaching you and looking the part, which is hard to imagine, but dressing better than I do. Have their robes, have the pedigree, have the law memorized. That person who is teaching you to do those things will not go to heaven. Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, Titus says. Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, Titus says, but by his grace he has saved us. Man, so cool. So if I'm going to do the things I don't want to do, I have to walk in the Spirit. If I look to a code or a law or say yes to things on a paper, I'm going to end up doing those things that I don't want to do. Romans 7. Not amazing. The harder I try in my energy to not do it, I do it. But the fruit of the Spirit. Now, when I walk in the Spirit, here's what you will see, right? Here's what you're going to notice. Love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and self-control. Look at the point. Against such there is no law. There is no law. I say 625. It could be more. But it's coming to my mind right now. There is no law that can produce the fruit of the Spirit. So stop it. There is no law. Think about that for a second. This is Paul, who is a Pharisee of Pharisees, who at one point was putting people in prison. He knows, he sat the Pinnacle Gamaliel. He has the pedigree. He knows exactly what the law teaches. You want to argue with this guy about the law? Good luck. Have fun. He knows exactly what he's talking about. He was opposing those of the way, putting them in prison and even killing them. Then he gets born again and realizes, holy smokes. Goes into Arabia and Christ teaches him. We don't know how long, but long enough for him to go, I was wrong. Christ, the mystery of Christ in us, has been revealed in Paul to teach people. Man, thank God he was faithful. Verse 24, those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and lust. I have crucified the flesh, mainly in context, the law. I have crucified myself to doing the law. You can apply it to the flesh like spiritual things that I don't want to do, right? But in the context, I'm crucifying me doing works of righteousness in the law. No more. Verse 25, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. See, I'm born again. If I'm born again, walk in the Spirit. Don't walk in the law. Walk in the Spirit. Let us not be conceited, provoking one another, and envying one another. We'll stop right there. We'll get into chapter 6 next week. Isn't that amazing? Again, chapters 1, 2, 3, 4. Paul does an amazing job. Obviously, Christ is telling him what to say. slowly, patiently, methodically teaching them, this is who you are. This is who accepts you. This is how salvation has come. This is what not to do, right? The law produces nothing spiritual now in Christ. Once, now they have something to work with, right? Now they can go, oh, okay, I see. There are many believers today that are like those in Derbe and Lystra and Iconium, those in Galatia region. They just need patience and help revealing truth to them. Not everyone is going to learn their own self-study what God has for them. If that were true, God would not give the gift of teaching. He wouldn't do that. He knows that the body works together. Isn't that amazing? That He has, in the Spirit, allowed you to be reliant on someone. Mind-blowing, isn't it? Now, obviously, we're relying on the Lord, right? But the body is designed. I need the toe. Not the toe jam, but the toe. I need the pinky. I need the thumb. I need the leg, the arm, the ears, the eyes. See that? I'm reliant on the body. I'm the pastor of the church. There's only one pastor of the church. And He is relying on you. I believe I have many gifts. Does not take away from you doing what you're supposed to do in God's body. Why do you think we visit for half an hour? I'm wanting God to use your gift to encourage people, to lift up the body, to edify the body. Why? Because there's no law that can do that. There's no law. You can't look to the Old Testament to help us in the law. Obviously, the Old Testament's good. It's inspired. We need to study and read it, right? But in the Spirit, nothing can happen from it for us today. The fruit of the Spirit, love, joy. I have memorized in King James, so I got to take my time here. Where are we at? Love. Oh, here we go. Peace, patience, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and self-control. Which I believe there's Holy Spirit control. That's just me. I'll say Holy Spirit control. Against such there is no law. So when you see in society today, I really want to hammer this point, okay? When you see in society today that there is a big commitment issue, like Galatians, they don't know who they are. They're looking to something that they can touch, that they can feel, they can smell, right? It doesn't work that way. They might not know that, though. They might be naive and ignorant to it. They need us to go out of our way, maybe for some of us out of our comfort zone, and help them, at least offer it. And if they tell you no, be resilient. Say, okay. Don't let it stop you. They're saying no to the Christ in you, not you yourself. Remember that. I think everybody in here is likable. I think everyone in here is lovable. And if someone's going to say something against that, it's probably because they don't like the Jesus who is the one loving in you. They might not like that. Not every unsafe person is going to go, man, I want what you have. No, it's going to convict them. They're going to go, I hate what you have. Some of them might want what you have. All the more reason to be in the Scriptures and to understand what the Spirit teaches us. What does God want me to learn? Reading my Bible, for the sake of reading my Bible, is going to do nothing. I went over all of our papers from the beginning of the year on 2020. What do I want to do in 2020 spiritually? Hands down. Read my Bible more. I handed the papers out and wrote down what they wanted to do. Read my Bible more. Okay, for what? Bible reading, Bible study, not just for me to learn, but for me to act on what I've learned. Act on it. If I'm acting the same in January as I am now, something wrong happened. You had the right idea and good intentions. But looking to the Bible to say, I want to read more, just to read more, that's a law. I want to read so that I know my Father more, I can understand Him more, and I can tell others more. Because the more knowledge and information that I have up here to get out of me, the more I can be used by Christ. Yes, the more opportunities come up. And yes, the more hurt comes in. And yes, the more rejection. At the same time, more opportunities for me to be pleasing to Christ. Even if they do reject it. Even if I am told no. Even if someone does hate me. It's me being obedient to what I know. And such there is no law. That makes sense? Let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord, for the book of Galatians, chapter 5. That's awesome to see what you put on Paul's heart to tell those there in the region of Galatia. I know there are times where he has said in the book of Galatians, I marvel that you're so easily turned away. You're saved by salvation, by grace through faith, that you want the law. Those two don't mix. Lord, I'm thankful that we have the copy of the Word of God to see the truth there in the context and how we can apply it to our lives today. Lord, Satan's tactics have not changed. There are so many religions built around works and the law that are leading people astray. Lord, allow our hearts and minds and our own lives to not put up our own laws. It might not be an Old Testament law, but a law that we look to justify what we do or don't do. Allow us to be obedient to the Holy Spirit, have the fruit of the Spirit, and then love, serve one another. Thank you, Lord. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.